If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. Today begins a brand new month, the month of November 1971. During October, the Lord blessed the ministry of Worth Baptist Church, and we enjoyed a wonderful time together in the Lord. But now a new month is at hand. We invite you to come today to study the Word of God with us in the Sunday School Hour at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family. We invite you to come and bring the whole family to study the Bible together in the Sunday School Hour at 10. The Sunday Morning Worship Hour is at 11, and you'll find a warm welcome and a spiritual and friendly atmosphere in which to worship God here at Worth Baptist Church. In the Sunday evening worship hour at 7 o'clock, I am bringing what I believe to be the most far-reaching, the most significant, the most important message in all of my ministry. The title of my message this evening at 7 is this, The Signs of the Time. Beloved, it is much later than we think. World events are happening today that are fulfilling the Word of God. For example, I ask you, what meaneth such things as these? The expulsion of nationalist China from the United Nations and the admission of Red China. What about the visits of the heads of the states of our world today? The heads of the free world are visiting the communist world. The heads of the communist powers are visiting the free world. What do these things mean in the light of the Bible? What about Great Britain entering the common market? Does this have biblical significance? What about the Mideast crises? The Arab and Israeli war and the conflict that is raging there as a powder keg in the world events today? What about the distress among the nations? What about the buildup of the Soviet naval power, especially in the Mediterranean Sea? Do these things have biblical significance? Are these things coming to pass in fulfillment of God's Word? You'll hear the answer to these questions tonight at 7 o'clock when my message will be The Signs of the Time. Again, I say to you that I believe that we're living in the last days. And I believe from the Word of God we can show you about these events that are transpiring in our world today. I want you to come and to bring your family and bring your friends. This is the most important message, I believe, that I've ever delivered in all of my ministry. The signs of the time. Why all of these things that are happening in the world today? Do they have biblical significance? Is the Bible being fulfilled in our world today? Is the coming of Christ really at hand? I believe that if you hear this message, that you'll have the answer to these and other questions. Remember, the time is 7 o'clock this evening, Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. My message, The Signs of the Times. Another word of special announcement, beginning 1 week from today, on November 14th, is our fall revival conducted by the Reverend Claude Craven, the pastor of the Trinity Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas. That's 1 week from today, November 14th and through the 19th. And I trust that you'll make your plans to attend the revival services at Worth Baptist Church beginning 1 week from today. May I again admonish you, if you are not attending Sunday school, we invite you to come to Worth Baptist Sunday School this morning at 10 o'clock, enjoy the Sunday morning worship service at 11 o'clock, and then by all means for the Sunday evening worship hour, The Signs of the Times. And we hope that you will avail yourself of the opportunity to hear this very timely message tonight at 7 o'clock. And now my message on today's broadcast entitled Established Hearts. I read from the 57th Psalm, verse 7. But before we read the Word of God, I invite you to pause with me in just a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for Worth Baptist Hour and for the privilege of voicing the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who listen. It is our prayer that as this broadcast fills the air today, that many might hear, perhaps some for the very first time, the story of redeeming grace, that they might turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him as their own personal Savior. Bring comfort and consolation to those who are sad. Bring joy and peace and happiness to those who are discouraged and despondent. And may this broadcast bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 57 and verse 7. The psalmist writes, "My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises." My heart is fixed, said the psalmist. In other words, he said, my heart is established. The heart is a very wonderful machine. We are told that in the human body there are 500 muscles, but by far the strongest of these is the heart. We are told that the heart is about 6 inches long and about 4 inches wide, or about the approximate size of the average man's fist. We're told by medical authorities that the heart beats 70 times per minute, or about 2.5 billion times in a normal lifespan. Did you know that every time that your heart beats, it pumps at least 2.5 ounces of blood through your circulatory system? Did you know that that would amount to something like 7.75 tons of blood a day? Quite an instrument, isn't it? The heart. I ask you, what about your heart? Is it right with God? Do you have the proper relationship in your heart to the Lord Jesus? Remember, the Bible says that out of the heart proceed the issues of life. Can you say today with the psalmist, my heart is fixed? I want to point out to you several reasons why I believe we ought to have established hearts in this 20th century. First of all, our hearts should be established in the matter of what we believe about the Word of God. I read about a college professor one time who was given an examination. And as he prepared to give the test, he said to his students, "I want you to put at least one seat between you and the next student so that you can abstain from the very presence of evil, you know, like the good book says." A smart aleck in the class answered, "But Professor, what if we don't believe in the good book, as you call it?" The professor answered wisely, "In that case then," he said, "I want you to put two seats between you." My, what a book is this book we call the Bible. We believe the Bible is inspired. The word inspiration comes from two Greek words, theos and pneuma. Theos is the word for God and pneuma for the word breathe. So the Bible is God-breathed. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture given by inspiration of God. We further believe that the Bible is powerful. In Hebrews 4:12 it is written, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We believe the Bible contains the message that the world needs today. What about this world in which we live? What does this world need? I submit to you that this world does not need reformation. This world needs regeneration. This world does not need regulation. It needs righteousness. This world does not need relief. It needs revival. And all of these, regeneration, righteousness, and revival, are contained in this book that we call the Bible. They all begin, continue, and end with the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. You see, this book tells us all that we need to know. We might say it's the yellow pages of a divine human economy. It tells us what, it tells us where, it tells us who, it tells us why, and it tells us when. How can we have regeneration? The Bible tells us how. In Titus 3:5 we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us." It tells us how we can have righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it is written, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him." The Bible tells us how we can have revival. Listen to it from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. God says, "If My people, who are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, then will I heal their land." There are four steps to revival for the 20th century. Number one, we must humble ourselves. Number two, we must pray. Number three, we must seek God's face. And number four, we must turn from our wicked ways. What a book is this Bible that tells us all about regeneration, righteousness, and revival. This book has outlived all of the world empires. And in that day when the angel stands with one foot upon the sea and one foot upon the shore and declares that time shall be no more on earth, the Bible will still live. What a book is the Word of God. Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born, that read to doubt or read to scorn. Yes, we should be established in our hearts in the matters of what we believe about the Bible, the Word of God. In the second place, our hearts should be established in the matter of who has first place in our lives. I was born on August 12, 1932, into the family of my father and mother. 11 years later, I was born again by the Holy Spirit, the regenerating power of God, into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since that time, I have never been my own. Oh, I have often acted like I was my own, but the truth of the matter remains, I belong to God. He has a prior claim on my life. Are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If so, you too belong to Him. Your life, your time, your talent, your energy, all that you and I have today belongs to Him. He claims my life. He claims my loyalty. He claims my love. Why, He's deserving of my life. He gave His for mine. He's deserving of my loyalty. He was loyal to me. He's deserving of my love, for He gave all of His love to me. No wonder the songwriter said, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Were all the realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." Yes, you and I as believers, as Christians today, should have our hearts fixed on the matter of who has first claim on our lives. God has first claim on your life today, to be in His house, to serve Him, to fellowship with Him, to give your heart and your life and all that you have in dedication to Christ. I ask again, is your heart fixed? Is your heart established in the matter of who has first claim on your life today? You may want to do this, that, or the other. Perhaps your plans do not even include the Sunday school and the church. They should if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I admonish you to put Christ first in your life today. Trust Him as your personal Savior and say with the psalmist, "My heart is fixed." There's a third reason that I believe our hearts ought to be established today, and that is this. Our hearts should be established in the matters of where we will spend eternity. Sir Thomas Lipton, an English millionaire who was the winner of many boat races, not only in England, but also in the United States, said shortly before he died, and I quote, "I would gladly give all my trophies for the one I do not have, that is the hope of heaven and eternity with Jesus." Do you have that hope? Is the Lord Jesus Christ alive in your heart? I hasten to tell you that you can have that trophy. You can have that hope. You can have that blessed assurance. I know today that one day I am going to heaven. I will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the redeemed of all the ages. How do I know it? I know it because the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me that if I will have faith in the Lord Jesus, and I have, if I will confess my sins, and I have, that I will have eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says the same thing to you today. You can have this trophy. You can have this assurance. You can have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is simple. First of all, you must confess that you are a sinner. Every member of Adam's race is a sinner. The Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that includes you. The Bible says that we've all gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is, on the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. The Bible declares that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How is your heart today? Is it established? Is it fixed? Do you know if you were to die today that you would spend eternity in heaven? Remember, there are but two destinies, heaven and hell. All the righteous will spend eternity with Christ in heaven. All the unrighteous will spend eternity in hell, where Satan and the false prophet and the Antichrist are, in the lake of fire that shall burn forever and forever. You can answer the question today, is your heart right with God? You can make things right with God in your own life and in your heart this moment by simply trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's nothing else that you can do to be saved. The Bible declares, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we read further in that chapter of Romans, chapter 10, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me read you these sobering verses of Scripture from the Bible. From the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, verse 12, John writes, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My, what an awesome passage of Scripture. All of the dead, the unrighteous dead, small and great, standing before God at the great white throne judgment. It'll be too late to have your heart fixed in that day. It'll be too late to have your heart established in that hour. Why not get your heart established right now? Confess your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you. Trust Him as your Savior. Exercise faith in Him this moment, and your heart can be established. May I remind you again of the importance of the services at Worth Baptist Church today. Sunday school at 10 o'clock. The Sunday morning worship hour at 11. And our Sunday evening worship service at 7. Again, I believe the most important message of my ministry, a timely message. It's later than you think. The signs of the time. What about all of these things that are happening in the United Nations? Britain joining the common market. The Arab-Israeli conflict in the Middle East. All of this distress among the nations. The swapping out of visits by the leaders of the communist and the free world. We believe that the Bible is being fulfilled in these matters, and we're going to deal with it tonight at 7 here at Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Come and bring your family and bring your friends to Worth Baptist Church for the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well. And trust that the blessings of God will be upon your life, your home, and your family. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.